Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. This is the week we are thinking about Veterans Day, and we're having a special emphasis on military-connected families. I know there are a lot of you listening out there, and a lot of you as listeners, you know families in the military who are in your communities, who are in your church, who are with you, and you want to know, how can you support them? How can you pray for them? How can you just, you know, be a blessing to them while they're in your community? Well, we have a guest today that is going to help us do just that. I am so excited to introduce to you my friend, Ken Espinoza. He is a native of Anaheim, California. Now, he was commissioned as an ensign in 2005 in the Chaplain Candidate Program in California, and he later joined active duty in 2008. He has a long and distinguished bio, but I'm just going to give you some of the highlights to give you an idea of his service to our country. After completing Officer Development School and Navy Chaplain Basic School, he reported as the Headquarters Squadron Chaplain aboard Marine Corps Air Station in Okinawa, Japan. Now, during that tour, he deployed to Afghanistan in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. He has served many places and many other communities since then, including my own. And in June of 2022, he reported to his current assignment at the United States Coast Guard headquarters, where he currently serves the office of the chaplain of the Coast Guard. Maybe some of you didn't even know that such an office exists, but it does exist, and Ken serves there. He received his Bachelor of Arts degree from Life Pacific University. He has a Master's of Divinity degree from Talbot School of Theology, Biola University in California, and he has served with highly awarded commands and received the Military Chaplain Association Distinguished Service Award in 2016. He is married, has been married since 2005, and they're the proud parents of three. And Ken, we are so glad to have you, to have your wisdom and experience and perspective and encouragement right here on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Jessica, thanks for having me, and it's so good to finally connect with you again.
It is. Well, I would just love for you to share with our listeners your story. How did God call you to ministry, and how did you end up where you are today?
Sure. As you said, I'm originally from Southern California. My parents immigrated from Peru, so I'm a first-generation American. Grew up in a blended family, not a Christian home, but in a home where both my mom and dad worked extremely hard to provide a good education for all of us. Went to a Catholic school growing up and really discovered early on the message of Christ. In fact, I remember learning about the Ten Commandments and being struck by two or three or more that I had broken, and still being blown away by God's love for me then. Really didn't take root until later on, but certainly grateful for that season. After high school, I went through this period where I was spending more time out of school than in school, and because of my extracurricular activities, I was kicked out of college not once but twice, because
uh-oh,
that's what you do when you're an overachiever like me. You get kicked out of two colleges. During that time, though, there was a youth pastor by the name of Ken Wilson, who invested so much in my life. I started attending a youth group because some of my friends had invited me, and it was there really where I really came to know the gospel and God's forgiveness and love for me in Christ. And certainly not a straight line from there, but my life really changed from there. Had plenty of bumps along the way, but for some reason, my pastor saw a call of God on my life. So I started pursuing ministry and went back to college and received some more training. It was around that time when the events of 9/11 happened, and I was stirred like many to serve my country, and found that on the intersection of serving God and serving country was military chaplaincy. So with the support of Melissa, my wife, and we decided to dive right in and began what has been an amazing journey. God's really taken us all over the place, as you mentioned, from Okinawa to Virginia to Texas to now D.C., and it's just been a fantastic ride. I've had opportunity to serve the Marine Corps, the Navy, on board ships, and as you mentioned, the Coast Guard. So it's just been fantastic to see, despite me, what God can do through someone.
It is so encouraging. And I think that people out there listening will resonate with your story, because it is either their story or it is the story of a child that they have. And it's always great to see that God provides a way for restoration and for hope. And there's just always hope for tomorrow, which is so exciting. Now, Ken, you have talked about how you really have been all over, and signing up in the wake of 9/11, being in Afghanistan, and then now just so many different things, you know, conflicts, foreign and domestic, and serving in so many capacities. Is there one recurring theme or issue that you see most often among those who serve? Or has that changed over time? Has it been the same? What takes up most of your time?
That's a great question. And I think the latter part is I think what you're hinting at. It's one that's difficult to answer, because like most of issues related to all of us, to people, we're so dynamic. So I will say it might depend. When I first came on active duty as a chaplain, the issue that we often face ranged from relationship issues to grief to perhaps more serious clinical issues like post-traumatic disorder. I will say overall, though, our world as chaplains in general is often in the subclinical areas of care, relationship struggles, grief, substance abuse, stress and fatigue, moral injury, just to kind of name a few. So it really depends on the context that we're in, whether we're deployed or ashore at maybe at a local chapel. Right now, of course, there's a big emphasis on suicide prevention, and so much of our efforts involve training and teaching our members and family members how to intervene in a crisis, how to build resiliency, and just as important, coming alongside of our leaders and communicating that it's okay to seek help, that all of us at some point have sought help, and that is indeed a sign of strength, not weakness. And so I'm not sure if there's one theme, but rather multiple that perhaps are harder to overcome because of lack of community, deployments, or just the nature of the job.
Well, that is almost overwhelming to think about, and to think about all of those issues that you encounter on a daily basis. What does that look like in the daily life of a chaplain in the military? What does that look like practically? Like what kind of services are you providing, and what does your interaction with families and with serving men and women look like?
Well, I can speak from personal experience, and really represents a lot of our chaplains. On a ship, for instance, when you're just the only chaplain, or you may have two other or three other chaplains, that, like you do on a carrier, one of our jobs is to care for all, to care for every one of our sailors and Marines or Coasties. And so we often, what we call deck plate ministry, we walk around the spaces, and we start conversations just to get to know our team, and during those conversations, and you build trust, you things come up. And so sometimes counseling doesn't look in it like it would in an office or a formal place. It might look like in the hangar bay, and it's just you and a sailor, and it's late at night because they're finally off duty and they want to chat, and they're just pouring out their soul to you, and much of what we do is pastoral counseling. We listen, we empathize, we care, we pray for them. One of the unique things that we offer as chaplains, as military chaplains, is confidentiality, privileged communication. That is to say that whatever is shared with the chaplain cannot be disclosed, regardless of the nature of the topic. And so, some of our members find that to be extremely helpful, find that to be a place of safety where I can go to the chaplain and I can disclose what's in my heart and some of the deepest fears, some of the deepest maybe regrets, some of the deepest problems that I have in my life. I'm able to disclose this, which, as you and I both know, that in and itself can be very cathartic, right? When you just share what you're going through, that can be very healing. And for us to take that and to maybe offer advice, maybe offer biblical, in my case, biblical passages that might be helpful, that might provide wisdom in a particular area, and offer prayer. And at times, there are times when the scope of the topic or the care can become more clinical. And so we have a great relationship with our medical team, our professionals there, and there are times where we encourage our members to seek professional help through our medical team, or maybe it might be a doctor, maybe it might be a psychologist, it might be a social worker on a ship, and the way that looks like it just looks like a variety of ways. You know, if you're on the field with Marines, you might be sitting in the field and you guys are talking somewhere on the side on the ship. It you're on a hangar bay or something, and on a cutter and with the Coast Guard. It just depends on the setting. That's what's so exciting about being a chaplain. It just doesn't look the same for everyone, and that point of need care that we provide is so dynamic but so rich as well.
That's really instructive, I think, especially for people like me who are not in the military and don't really know how that works. It's really helpful to know exactly what you're doing and what those interactions look like. And I want to go back to something that you mentioned just a few minutes ago, and that is something that I think is on the hearts and minds of military-connected families, and that's suicide. And that's something that the government has been very vocal about. We are concerned about the rising level, although I think this last year's report was a little less grim than the year before. But there are a lot of families listening who have been impacted by this, either by suicide or thoughts of suicide or mental health challenges that lead you down that dark alley. And what would you say to families who are going through that to give them hope?
Now, I appreciate that question, and it is near and dear to all of our hearts. I would say the first thing is you're not alone. You're not alone. I think one of the biggest lies that we have to fight as a community, regardless of the military or not, is this idea that we're alone, that we're a burden, and it's just simply not true. We all have low points in our lives. We all have moments where we need to seek help, and so I would just say that you're not alone. There are people that love and care for not only you but for the member, and are more than willing and anxious to support you.
Yeah, that is absolutely true, that they are not alone. There's so much stigma and shame, I think, that surrounds this topic, and people are afraid to disclose it. And that's something I can relate to as a healthcare professional, because you're afraid to say that because then your coworkers are going to think, well, then can you do your job? And I imagine that would be the same kind of feeling in the military. And you're so trained to just stuff it down, soldier on, you know, keep going and not admit any point of weakness. That can be really, really difficult. But I think that knowing for families at home, knowing that there is a chaplaincy program and that they can be connected to that, that there is hope on the other side, I think that's so important. And Ken, from my perspective as a nurse practitioner, I know that spiritual health drives our mental health and our emotional health and impacts our physical health. And so having this kind of holistic care is so important. Well, you've been listening to Ken Espinoza, who is a chaplain with the Coast Guard. We've been talking about how to support military families. And when we come back, we are going to talk about how local churches churches and the community at large can come alongside families who are active duty and support them as they keep us safe. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, friends, to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. We are so excited to be talking to a new friend, Ken Espinoza, who is a chaplain with the U.S. Coast Guard, and he has been sharing his own personal testimony with us and what he does to help military servicemen and women who are deployed and at home, and what an incredibly difficult job that is in the face of global unrest and uncertainty. These are sacrifices that they make, and their families serve along with them. I think that's something that we forget a lot of times. You know, when you go to a ball game, you're going to see the servicemen and women stand up, and we're going to honor them, and that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But behind them are families who support them, who pray for them, who take care of their dogs while they're gone, and all of those things that are required to help families. And so, Ken, when I promised our listeners that when we came back, we would talk about how local churches and the community at large can come alongside families who are active duty. I know that, you know, for example, when we met you and went to church together, you were just there in the community for a short period of time, but I would love to hear both sides of it, like the importance of your family engaging, but the importance of the families in the church engaging with you and providing that support. What do you have to say about that?
No, I appreciate that question so much. It's so relevant, so timely, and so needed for our military families. And you're right, they are the true heroes in this equation, and the true supporter. I cannot do what I do without Melissa and the kids and their support. So I would say the very first thing is to be intentional about your outreach to military families as a way of context. Many of our families are stationed in places where they did not grow up and do not have organic family structure. You mentioned my time in Texas, you know, being from Southern California. I probably had no business being in Texas when I first started, but loved it. And it was one of the most grateful moments in service was when we were stationed in Texas. Melissa, the kids, and I did not have family around, but in a sense we did. We found a home church that adopted us and cared for us, and to include all of y'all. I remember we had a medical emergency that involved Melissa and I to care for one of our kids, and we still had two kids at home. And who was going to care for those kids? The church. Families would rotate to feed them, take them to school, care for them. It would have been very difficult to go through that season without our church. So in a very simple sense, how can the church come alongside of families who are active duty? I would say be the church, be Jesus, think outwardly. It's very natural for all of us to focus on those who we know or are comfortable with, but the real impact happens when we think outside of ourselves, when we think outside of or beyond the four walls. So the church really has a unique opportunity to impact military families and provide them with the one thing, maybe one of the most basic human needs that we all have and crave for, but can be very difficult for a military to find, and that is community.
That is so important. And I'm wondering how that impacts your job. Like if you're working with, you know, servicemen and women who have been deployed, which you have done quite often, how much does their worry about their family back home, if their family's not feeling supported or connected or that kind of thing, how much does that weigh on their hearts and minds? And how do you respond to that?
Yeah, it's very much heavily weighs on their mind. Even regardless of your job or your position, your family is your strength, your cornerstone, and when you're not there, it can be a pretty helpless feeling. And I think that's probably one of the most challenging things about being deployed or being in a place where your family's at home and you're serving elsewhere, is that, that feeling of helplessness. You can only do so much. I'll give you a quick example. I just went on a 3-day trip, just a simple trip down the road from D.C. and one of our kids broke their hands, you know, and sure enough, that happens when we're gone. And there's always that helpless feeling that you have when you're gone and something like that happens. But that can cause an enormous amount of stress and heartache. And so as chaplains, we come alongside of those members and not only empathize, but find ways to support them from home. You know, one of the things that the military does really well is provide family support. I'm thinking of the ombudsman, which is usually a military spouse who represents our families at units, and his or her job is to ensure that that family member has support that they might need. Might be childcare, it might be maybe a trip to the grocery, it might be referrals, it might look just different from family to family. But there again, there's only so many ombudsmen, there's only so many spousal support. So anything that the church can do to supplement that and to provide extra support, it can go a long way. I remember when we first got to Texas, one of the first visits we got was from a family from church. They knocked on our door and they welcomed us to the community. It's those little things that just go so far. And I'll tell you that without the church, I don't think, I can only talk personally, I don't think we would have made it this far without the church, without a community to care for us and our families. It would be really hard. So certainly the church plays such a vital role in providing that kind of support.
Well, that was easy to do for your family, Ken. I mean, once we got over our differences between California and Texas barbecue, I mean, that was pretty significant. But, you know, there are no barriers that are insurmountable with God's help, right? And a lot of grace, we got past it. Now, I want to ask you about support while service members are deployed, because you've served in places all over the world where those members are isolated, and especially coming up around the holiday times where it can be difficult to be separated from your families. What are things that we can do? I'm thinking even tangible things like, what are the best, you know, packages that you could send? What do service members want to have? Or what are ways that we can provide that extra support when they're separated at the holiday times?
No, thank you for that. I think it depends on the deployment and the schedule. I think the best thing you can do is to care for our families, and not to circle back on that. But I think that's exactly where the needs are. You know, we live in a time now, fortunately, where we have a lot of resources now. I remember getting care packages in the mail from friends and loved, to include our own church, and it was wonderful, you know. But the truth is, we have enough socks, for instance. We have enough beef jerky and all those things. what we really like is to make sure our families are okay, and to make sure that they are taken care of. And so I think one of the things that you're getting at as well, though, is that a large percentage of our military is indeed your 18 to 25 service member, right? They're the young Marine, the young sailor, the young soldier, the young Coastie that is away from home, and maybe it's the first time away from home. And now they have to watch during the holidays, and that can be a real stressful and lonely time. I will say, as leaders, a leadership in every command I've been to, leaders have been intentional in making sure they're taking care of our young Marines and sailors that are away. But there are places out there that have a great relationship with the unit chaplain, churches that have a great relationship with the unit chaplain, have the opportunity to reach out. It might look like bringing a meal. It might look like inviting them over for dinner. It might look like inviting their families over. It doesn't have to be terribly complicated. Just showing a little ounce of love goes a long way. And I think the church does really good at that. But those are my thoughts there.
That's really helpful. And just thinking, I'm hearing you emphasize over and over again, having served in the military yourself and serving every day those who serve in the military, you saying that it really is all about your family and just helping be a support. And those little things go a really long way. I think so often, especially as Christians, we want to help and we feel like it has to be something really big and dramatic and, you know, something elaborate. But you're just saying, just those everyday expressions of love and welcome and hospitality, those are the things that makes the difference. That's really helpful to hear. Well, Ken, what is unique about Navy chaplaincy? I would love to hear your experience on that.
Yeah, well, for starters, our main goal as Navy chaplains, and really any chaplain, but for us in particular, is what I believe our strength, our North Star, if you will, is to ensure that our warfighters, our service members, their families are spiritually ready. That is to say that help strengthen their spirit to accomplish their particular mission with honor. And we do that in a variety of settings. We minister to our Marines, as mentioned, in the field or deployed. We serve sailors on board destroyers and amphibs or a carrier. We serve coasties as they deploy to places like the Arctic or in ports. And we serve at chapels and hospitals. So anywhere where our Marines, sailors, and Coast Guard men and women are, you will likely find a Navy chaplain in particular, because they serve all three of those branches. And so they care for their flock and they provide for those in their particular faith group and facilitate for those who are different in their faith groups. And so I just think that's such a unique and privileged position to be in. And that's probably true for any military chaplain, but I will say that the platform that Navy chaplains serve on is much wider than most. Like many of our chaplains, like you mentioned, you know, I've had the opportunity to hold services in Afghanistan. I've held services on carriers. I've done ministry in the middle of a hurricane, as you know, along with you during Harvey, and serving the Coast Guard as they do what they do best, which is to save lives. And we actually have a chaplain right now getting ready. He's serving the Coast Guard, but he's getting ready soon to be deployed on a Coast Guard icebreaker. A ship that's designed to break through ice and in places like the Arctic. And there's only two in the Coast Guard, and he will likely experience something that very few ministers do, and that's doing ministry on a platform like that. What a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And so, I don't think I or we would have gotten those kinds of experience had it not been in the Navy serving as a military chaplain.
Well, I can agree with you there. I mean, when you're thinking about ministry platforms, I surely don't think about a Coast Guard ship that breaks ice. Like, that is definitely unique. Well, is there a current need for more chaplains? What does that look like? If someone's out there listening and thinks, you know, hey, this is really interesting. Is there a place for me, or how could I support that? What would that look like, Ken?
Yes, and yes. The Navy is hiring, to put it simply. We need more chaplains. For the first time in over 30 years, the Navy is expanding the chaplain corps. In fact, one of the goals as a service is to place one chaplain on board every destroyer the Navy has, because the Navy has found that there's a direct correlation, and you alluded to this earlier, there's a direct correlation between our spiritual health, our spiritual being, with healthy behaviors, to include, as you mentioned, suicide prevention. And so I would say if you have a heart for God and a heart for people, if the idea of showing God's love in a our faith tradition, sharing the gospel in a place or setting where there's hurting and perhaps a point of feeling hopeless, if you have a heart for putting God in that kind of situation and allowing God to use you in powerful ways, then I think the Navy Chaplain Corps is a perfect place to serve. And so we would love to see more pastors to sign up to serve in this capacity. I realize that not every clergy member can support. Sometimes it's a health issue. Sometimes it's family issue. There's also other ways you can serve as a chaplain in the military, believe it or not. In the Coast Guard, we have something called the Coast Guard Auxiliary Support Program, and it is for volunteer clergy members who want to serve their country, but again, because of maybe age restriction or health restrictions, or maybe they can't move, it is a volunteer program where they can join as long as they have the basic prerequisites to be a chaplain, you know, to a master's of divinity or master's of theology of some kind. They can serve the auxiliary chaplain support program. And again, they're volunteers, but they serve Coasties all over the U.S. And so there's plenty of ways to serve, and certainly the need is far and wide. And again, like I mentioned before, it's the best decision I've ever made.
Well, where can people find more information about this? Do you just go to the Navy website, or do you have any more specific recommendations?
Right. Well, Google being our best friend, that's always a good place to start. But certainly the Navy Chaplain Recruiter, if that's not really hard to find online. If you, just to make it simple for our listeners, if you Google the Chaplain of the Coast Guard or Coast Guard Chaplains, it'll take you to a link and with all of our emails. There's only 48 Navy chaplains serving in the Coast Guard. So if you pick any of us, we'd be more than happy to discuss more and point you in the right direction.
Well, thanks so much for that, Ken. And I do hope that some of you who are listening think maybe one of those options would be right for you and a way to serve. When we come back, we're going to keep talking to Ken about how we can specifically pray for chaplains and for our men and women serving in the military. So don't go away. More to come right on the other side of this break.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome back to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. We are talking to Ken Espinoza, a chaplain in the Navy with the U.S. Coast Guard right now. And it has been so encouraging and so uplifting. If you missed the first two segments, go back and take a listen as Ken shared his own personal testimony and his call to ministry, what he sees people in the military facing right now, how local churches and the community at large can come alongside families who are active duty. And you can even hear more about an opportunity for you to serve as a Navy chaplain. Maybe you didn't think coming onto this program that that was the turn that your life was going to take, but Ken made a clear call for more chaplains and especially for pastors to step up and do that. And so you can find that online. Now, Ken, as we wrap up our time together, I would really like to talk about praying. That's something that we can all do that is really, really effective. So what are ways that we can pray for chaplains who are serving right now?
No, thank you. I think I would answer that first off with just a quick story. I mentioned a little time ago about my time in Texas. I will say that there have been moments as a chaplain where I needed a safe place to call home, a place to unpack my own struggles. I think of a common friend that we both have, Dr. Bill Tharp. I don't think he's written any books or pastored any large churches, but he is a faithful man who I found solace and found safety in some of my low moments. And he ministered to me in a powerful way, more than he probably knows. And so we all need that. And unlike the local pastor or clergy member, chaplains need community and a safe place to talk to as well, a sanctuary to decompress and find care. And so I would say praying for connectedness among chaplains would be a great place to start. Like any of our service members, we're often one of one, and I remember being the only Navy chaplain in that Houston area. And so again, community, praying that God would be gracious to us as we seek community for our own families. The second thing I would say is, and closely related, is that we would remain faithful to our identity and our call. It is an incredible privilege to serve the military and as a Navy chaplain, but it comes with challenges sometimes, and along the lines of our own call to ministry. And so allowing us to, or praying that God would keep us faithful by His grace, that we would always be reminded every single day that this is a call within a call, that being a Navy chaplain isn't the call itself, but being called to ministry is the call. And in this season, we're called to be Navy chaplains. So just for God's protection of our call and of our identity as believers, we have chaplains from all faith groups and all walks of life. And in this particular context, I'm just really speaking as a Christian pastor, but that God would keep us in line with his word. I think the other thing is, and we just mentioned it, is praying for more chaplains. We have a little over 900 chaplains, and we have 48 of those serving the Coast Guard, but again, we can use more. So praying that God would call men and women in the field who are looking for opportunities to serve, that God would stir in them a new generation to answer this call, to serve men and women in the most remote places as missionaries, because that's, in many ways, that's what we are. We're missionaries. We're called away from the church to serve our country for such a time as now, and to come alongside of Marines, sailors, and Coasties, in a powerful way. So I would say those two things would be more than enough.
Well, those things are really, really helpful. And you know what's funny, Ken, is that God just writes the most incredible stories. So it really struck me when you called out, you know, our former worship pastor, Bill, who is just such a faithful servant of God. And it really, the irony is not lost on me. So I want to share this with you, actually. In my book, Behind Closed Doors, A Guide for Parents and Teens to Navigate Through Life's Toughest Issues, in my acknowledgments, I actually mentioned Bill. And so I want to open this and read this because I think it wraps up full circle what we were talking about in the importance of the church. I said in the acknowledgments, "The people in my church family are so precious to me. There are so many in my cloud of witnesses. I couldn't possibly thank them all here. I'm especially grateful to those in the worship ministry and children's and youth ministry, alongside whom I've served and walked through the lowest valleys and the highest mountaintops. You know who you are, but I'd like to especially call out my former worship pastor, Bill, who has been a most faithful encourager and prayer warrior. He was the first one to give me a microphone to speak, and I haven't stopped speaking since. And here I am, literally, Ken, in front of a microphone speaking to you, and we are sharing God's faithfulness, both with the encouragement, and like you said, Bill hasn't written a book or, you know, something like that, but my goodness, we, you know, maybe wouldn't be here in some capacity without him, without his influence. So I just wanted to share that little 100%. God moment that I love. Well, how also can we be praying for the military men and women who are serving all around the world to keep us safe here at home and their families?
Well, safety for one. Some of our bravest Americans are serving right now on the front lines. They're serving on ships. They're serving on cutters. They're serving in places that aren't public. And so I would say praying that God would keep them safe, that God would grant the leaders that just make some of the toughest decisions every day, that God would grant them wisdom as they make those decisions. I think of stories all throughout the Old Testament where God raises prophets to speak God's word to these leaders, and so I would say the same thing today, that to pray that God's Spirit would give all of our leaders wisdom and discernment as they make some tough decisions, and all for the sake of protecting our Constitution and our way of life here in the U.S. for many of us we take for granted sometimes. So I would say, pray for safety and wisdom and discernment. And then I would say, just as important, if not most important, the safety and protection of our families, that they would feel loved, that they would feel encouraged. That we're not immune to some of life's most challenging times. And we spend a lot of time talking about that, but asking God to be gracious to them as they carry a lot of the burdens. I think of children right now, military kids who are out there, whose parents are deployed. Mom might be deployed, dad might be deployed, and first day of school, first day of high school, and they can't go home and talk to dad about that, or they can't go home and talk to mom about that. That's a tough place to be in. And yet, God designed by his wisdom, he designed the perfect institution to meet that need, and that is the church. So, I would just pray for God to speak into the hearts of men and women. To fill in that gap, to be, the fathers to those who don't have kids or fathers right now, to be the moms to don't have moms right now, to fill that gap. There's such a great need. There's not a shortage of need out there. So I pray for action. Pray that God not only we think of prayer and we pray, but that God would stir us into action and to move and to do something for his glory at the end of the day.
Well, amen, amen, and amen. And I think there is no time like the present, Ken. So can I ask you just to lead us and our listeners, wherever they are, just in a prayer for those things that you just outlined? We would really appreciate that.
I would love to. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gospel. Thank you so much for the message that's behind the gospel, a word that reminds all of us that we're not alone, that you love us, that you have given us Christ so that we can find a new life and a new community. Father, I pray for our service members, their families, as many are in harm's way or serving overseas or deployed. I pray, Lord, for safety. I pray, Lord, for encouragement, for wisdom and discernment for our leaders. I ask, Lord, that you would be gracious to the families that are home right now, carrying much of the responsibility and sometimes burden of having a loved one away. Thank you for their sacrifice. I ask, Lord, that you would be gracious to them, that you would lift them up, that you would surround them with a community of believers that can come alongside of them and maybe cut the lawn, maybe provide a meal, maybe invite them to a movie or church. Lord, there's so much to do. There's so much ministry to be made. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to all of us and that you would give us a call to action. So, Father, thank you so much. Pray for Jessica. Thank you just for this ministry that she's a part of. And ask, Lord, that you would continue to be gracious to her, use her and Stephanie and the team there, that you would just use them mightily as they do all these things for your glory and for the sake of the good news that we found in Christ. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Ken, thank you so much. This has been such an incredible blessing. We are so grateful for your service to our country, for your service to God, for just being the person that you are, and for sharing your expertise and your perspective and giving us some real insight and wisdom into how we can support military families. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Stephanie, for having me. Again, it's so good to hear from you and wish you all the best.
Yep. Well, Stephanie and I want you to both give Melissa a big hug for us, and we'll have you back on another time. Thank you, Ken.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Well, I know for a lot of you out there listening, you either are in a military-connected family or you know a military-connected family. And I think from my perspective as a pediatric nurse practitioner, many times the people who are unseen in that situation are the children. Of course, we see the person who's serving. Of course, we see the spouse. But it does require sacrifice and service. And this is a family ministry that a military-connected family is going to have. Those children are going to have to move frequently. They change schools frequently. It can be difficult for them to join sports teams if they're arriving mid-season. How do they do that? If they want to play baseball, but they're moving in the spring, all of these things can be very difficult. They're having to acclimate to new churches and acclimate to new healthcare providers, going to a different place for a checkup, just things that are as simple as that. And these can be stressful experiences. Now, most of the military families that I know, they just pitch in and all really believe in their cause together, and they recognize their service as a family unit. And all kids face some sort of stressor. And the challenge is that when kids of any kinds face any kind of stressors, it can turn on a faucet of stress chemicals in their brain. You've probably heard me talk about this before. And it bathes their brain in this chemical wash of stress. But you know what? We underestimate the value of having a supportive presence, because the number one predictor of resilience is meaningful connection to a healthy relationship with an adult in their life. And you can be that adult for a child whose family is serving in the military. You can welcome them to your school and look and see who are military families being new to the school. You can provide support for families during deployment, just like Ken described. You can invite them to your holiday gatherings or offer to provide some childcare or grocery shopping or just some simple company. You can use technology to communicate with service members. So you can make sure that if you're a teacher, you can have Skype or some other virtual technology for other families to be able to connect. You can show support for the military by writing letters. The month of the military child is actually in April, but you can write letters now, and especially at a holiday time, I think that people would really, really appreciate that. So think of a way that you can say thank you to a military family. There are so many ways in your community. And remember not to underestimate the value of the little things. What is something so small to you, like giving a kid a ride, could be something that is life-changing and life-saving for that family. Every little bit counts. And so just listen to the Lord's leading and walk forward in that way. And let's all continue to pray together for our military-connected families. We'll see you next time right here on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. Don't forget to send your Operation Christmas Child boxes all the way around the world where there are military service women and men deployed, but there are also children in need of Christmas gifts. Go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to find out more.